Let's see. I want to talk about, we're going to read from John and 1 John. So I was starting to read 1 John, and then it took me back to John. But I want to start in John 12, you know, and being Palm Sunday, you know, it just feels right that we should read what happens with his triumphal entry. But I want to kind of take it maybe, I don't know, a little different direction, but I want to read it. So John 12, 12. So I'm going to just be reading some like somewhat longer passages, but hopefully this will tie together in the end. But, you know, the focus is always Jesus, right? And not just this week. I mean, the focus is always Jesus. And I was talking to one of my kids on the phone, and they're like, you know, what are you going to teach about? I'm like, Jesus, I'm just not sure exactly what. You know, like, he's going to be a part of this because he's like, he's it. But
isn't that the cliche answer?
Right.
You grow up in church, right. Jesus is always the answer.
It is.
But the deeper truth is, ask the truth.
Right? It is. Like, he really is the answer. And I think it has become, like you're saying, like, we let it kind of become this cliche thing, and it's like, but no, but, I mean, he's it. He's everything. Like, and I love the way that John talks about Jesus, you know? Like, so we're going to get that in 1 John and how he describes him. But so in John 12, he says, so the next day, the news that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem swept through the massive crowd gathered for the feast. So they took palm branches and went out to meet him. Everyone was shouting, Lord, be our Savior. Blessed is the one who comes to us, sent from Jehovah God, the King of Israel. Then Jesus found a young donkey and rode on it to fulfill what was prophesied. People of Zion, have no fear. Look, it's your king coming to you, riding on a donkey. Now, Jesus' disciples didn't fully understand the importance of what was taking place. But after he was raised and exalted in the glory, they understood how Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies in the scriptures that were written about him. All the eyewitnesses of the miracles of the miracle Jesus performed when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead kept spreading the news about Jesus to everyone. The news of this miracle of resurrection caused the crowds to swell as great numbers of people welcomed him into the city with joy, right? They're like, oh my gosh, this guy can raise people from the dead too, right? He's our king. We've been waiting for this king. He's going to come in, and they're just like, this is going to be massive, right? And he rides in on a donkey. Like, I love it. Because Jesus, like, he disrupts culture, right? He disrupts what we think. And I think that's the thing, like, we say, oh, Jesus is the answer. And if we think that we know everything about him, we're going to stop seeking. We're going to stop, like, gazing upon him, right? Like, my dad was, like, saying he's been married for, what is it now, 43 years, Aaron? Something like that? Like 43 years, he's like, I still am getting to know my wife. You know, I'm still learning things about her. We're still growing together. It's like, we don't know everything about Jesus, you know? And like, these people had this image of what he was supposed to be, to come and to rescue all of them, right? Come in on this, like, on this horse. He's going to be the triumphal entry with big, like, horse, and he comes in on a donkey. And people, like, they're celebrating and stuff, but I'm sure a lot of them are like, what? You know, like, what's happening? Where are the warriors? Where are the soldiers? Like, how are you going to take over, you know, take back from the Roman Empire? And he comes in, and he comes differently. And if we have this set expectation of how Jesus is going to move and what he's going to do, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss him, right? We're going to miss how he moves in our lives if we're not open to however he wants to show up, right? And I just... this thing, like, they'd heard this miracle, it spreads, this whole thing, and he comes in so humbly, you know? And I want Jesus to disrupt me. I do. I want him to come in ways that I'm not expecting and turn things upside down, because I need it, you know? Like, I want to really understand him for who he is, not who I think he should be. In 1 John 1, 1:1. 1 John 1:1. Anyway, John, talking about Jesus, he says, we saw him with our own very eyes. We gazed upon him and heard him speak. Our hands actually touched him, the one who was from the beginning. And I love how the Passion says this, the living expression of God. And we're going to go back to John 1, chapter 1, and talks more about the expression of God. But this life giver was made visible, and we have seen him. We testify to this truth. The eternal life giver lived face to face with the Father and has now dawned upon us. So we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard about this life giver, so that we may share and enjoy this life together. For truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus, the Anointed One. John had the privilege of seeing him, of walking with him. And all these other people in this place, like he's writing these letters to you, some of them never got a chance to actually see him. But even the people who were there in that triumphal entry, they had no idea who Jesus was, right? John did. The women that walked with him, they did. There's a new movie coming out. It's going to be interesting. Mary Magdalene. You see, like, and I was reading a review on it, and, you know, Joaquin Phoenix is playing Jesus, which is really just kind of odd, and he's playing the Joker. But anyway, the movie, and I haven't seen it, but just, like, I was reading something, and a lot of people like to twist the Mary Magdalene story into this, like, love affair between Jesus and Mary, right? And I guess this movie does not go there at all. It's just, like, they have this, like, relationship and stuff, but it just highlights, like, her place in it. But I don't know if it's going to be, like, weird and sacrilegious. I have no idea. So I'm, like, promoting the movie. But I'm just saying, like, it's interesting because we miss sometimes that, like, these women that were walking with him, right? And so John's writing this, and a lot of the women didn't get... None of the women actually wrote books for the Bible, but like their viewpoint and like how they walked with him and the relationship they had with him, they knew him, right? How Mary Magdalene was like welcomed by him, right? And then Mary and Martha and like these other women. And there was, I guess, I mean, it's just a huge group of women that followed, you know, Jesus, and sadly not talked about very often, but these people knew him, right? And being able to like, It would have been awesome, right? Just to see, you know? There's another movie. Do we remember the name of it? It's about Jesus and his disciples. And it's a newer release. But anyway, just the humanity of how Jesus, like, talked with them and just, like, walked with people. And his conversations with Matthew and, like, these different things. And it's interesting that these newer movies are coming out with, like, almost like this God, and yet this humanity of him, you know? And like how beautiful it would have been to just watch that, just to see that. But how amazing it is that we actually get to. And it looks different, right? Like we don't see him like in physical form, but like we get to see Jesus. Like, and we get to bring that to other people. Like my experience with Jesus and the way that he's looked at me and the way that he's loved me is something I get to offer. Like John's saying, like we saw him with our own eyes. We gazed upon him and heard him speak. Our hands actually touched him. Like, I have had encounters with Jesus where I'm like, I've touched Jesus, right? I've heard Jesus. I have seen Jesus's eyes look at me, you know? And, like, nobody can take that away, right? That's mine. And it's, and on it, like, it's just as real as John walking with him. This isn't like a second rate, like, of us, our experience with Jesus. We get that, and we get to present that to the world, which I think is amazing, because Jesus is the living expression, you know, of God, but he's still living, and he's living with us, and God is being expressed through him and our love relationship with him, you know? Like, anyway, I think it's really, really beautiful. So going back to the book of John, and then I want to open up just what you guys say, but so John talking about Jesus here, I'm going to read... verse 1 through 18, and just how he describes what Jesus is coming to do, you know, and starting off this book. And John, you know, the one whom Jesus loved, you know, he knew where he stood with Jesus. But I just want to read this, and I love this translation and how he uses some of this language. It says, in the beginning, the living expression was already there. So Jesus, he's always been there. The living expression was with God, yet fully God. They were together, face to face, in the very beginning, and through his creative inspiration, this living expression made all things. So through Jesus, everything was made. For nothing has existence apart from him. He's life, right? Jesus is life. Life came into being because of him, for his life is light for all humanity. And I love this verse 5. This living expression is the light that bursts through gloom, the light that darkness could not diminish. Then suddenly a man appeared who was sent from God, a messenger named John. For he came to be a witness to point the way to the light of life and to help everyone believe. John was not that light, but he came to show who is. For he was merely a messenger to speak the truth about the light. For the light of truth, Jesus, was about to come into the world and shine upon everyone. He entered into this very world he created, yet the world was unaware. He came to the very people he created, to those who should have recognized him, but they did not receive him. But those who embraced him and took hold of his name, like John and the other disciples that walked with him, were given authority to become the children of God. When he came in, thousands of people were on the street, and such a small percentage actually knew who he was. They had no idea, right? And afterwards, like, who did he show up to? The people that really knew him, you know? After he raised from the dead, like, it's just powerful. Like, relationships were so key for Jesus. He was not born by the joining of human parents or from natural means or by a man's desire, but he was born of God. And so the living expression became a man and lived among us. And we gazed upon the splendor of his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, overflowing with tender mercy and truth. Page turn. John taught the truth about him when he announced to the people, "He's the one. Set your hearts on him. I told you he would come after me, even though he ranks far above me, for he existed before I was even born. And now, out of his fullness, we are fulfilled. And from him, we receive grace heaped upon more grace. Moses gave us the law, but Jesus, the anointed one, unveils truth wrapped in tender mercy." Unveils truth wrapped in tender mercy. "No one has ever, upon the fullness of God's splendor, no one has ever gazed upon the fullness of God's splendor except the uniquely beloved Son, who is cherished by the Father and held close to his heart. Now he has unfolded to us the full explanation of who God truly is." Jesus, the living expression of God, has unfolded to us the full explanation of who God truly is. Jesus is it. Like, he's everything. You know, and you see so many people and denominations and things just getting so caught up in, I don't know, dogma and theology and stuff, and we miss the point that love himself is the point, right? That Jesus, living expression, the light of this world, and, you know, I watch people who have, I come to know Jesus and didn't know him before, right? Like, I've lived my whole life, like, hearing about him. And Aaron and I have had this conversation before, you know, this thing, like, when you see somebody, like, grab a hold and, like, oh my gosh, and this light come on, right? And just, like, totally change their lives. And, like, and though I've had this steady progression, like, I haven't had that as part of my story, but at the same time, I've known him for so long that I'm able to, like, you know, have depth as well, you know? And so, like, both are really beautiful, but it's just been cool to watch people. And I used to, in the past, be like, gosh, I wish I had something, you know, kind of like that. You know, like, this is, like, major thing where I'm like, oh my gosh, I never recognized him before. I never knew that he was out there, you know? And but at the same time, grateful for the years. I don't know if that makes any sense, you know, but we all have, you know, this journey of getting to know who Jesus is. But it is this constant getting to know. And like, you know, Isaac, you were saying, like, becoming a cliche, these stories around Easter time and his birth can just become these fairy tales. Like, even for those of us who are, you know, really a part of the church, we really believe in it, at the same time, sometimes can, like, lose the weight of what it is. And I hope that for us, like, this week and in Easter, like, it doesn't lose the weight. Like, truly, he is the point. Yeah. Like, he's really beautiful. And I just remember this encounter that I had with him in my house, and he was, the vision that I had of him was, like, on the cross, and I was at his feet, just, like, you know, holding his feet, and the next image is him, like, off the cross, and he's, like, looking at me, and you just look in that, in these eyes of, like, just such pure love, you know, and excitement to see me, you know, and it's like when you haven't seen a friend for a really long time, and they're just, like, boom, just full of glee right at seeing you, and, like, just kind of run up, and he just had this, like, this glow of just this, like, tender love and mercy, and he's revealing who he is. Like, we get to encounter him in this life. It's not just for John and these people back then. Like, he's living and he's present even now, and no less so than he was before. And I want, as I was reading some of these scriptures this morning and yesterday, like, I don't want it to become cliche for me. I don't want it to just become a story. I want it to be living and breathing, you know, in my life, and be excited, you know, to be excited to hear when somebody, like, gets to know who he is. Yeah, you found my best friend. You know, like, yeah, that's it. You know, that's him. And I feel like sometimes I'm not sure how to share that, you know, with people who don't understand it. And I want to get better at that. That's something that I would love to grow in, is just being more excited about who he is, you know, in my life. And at the same time, like, we can tell somebody about him, but until somebody's really introduced to him, they're not going to really understand, you know? It's like, I can tell you all about a friend of mine that you never meet, and you're like, oh, they sound nice. But the prayer is that, just that awakening, that people would start to see who Jesus really is. Because that's really what sets apart Christianity, you know, from other religions. It's Jesus. It's the beauty of God incarnate. God here, the living expression of God and his sacrifice and pure love. And to have just love in general, you know. So anyway, I hope those three verses connected. But as I was reading and as we were worshiping, it's just this thing of, like, he's real. And John got to see him and touch him and experience him, and so do we. And I've experienced him and touched him, and I know him. I know he's real, you know. I know it's not a figment of just my imagination. I know it's not just stories. But for us, in this season, would we allow him to awaken us? You know, would we allow him to help us to be captivated again by his beauty? To continue to pursue and get to know him even more. And I just, that verse that says in verse 18, now he has unfolded to us the full explanation of who God truly is. It's all in Jesus. So anyway, I just want to pray for us, and then watch just to discuss, like, what you guys got from that. God, thank you. Jesus, thank you for who you are. Thank you that you are beautiful and captivating, that you pursue us and you woo us, that you unfold the explanation of who the Father truly is, that you are the living expression, light and truth. We don't want to miss you. We want to understand you more, to go deeper, to see you more clearly, more fully, to be captivated by you day in and day out, to be wowed by your presence, your engagement in our lives, your nearness, your love, your wholeheartedness. Thank you that you disrupt. You flip things on its head, on their heads, Lord, that you challenge what we think and believe. And Holy Spirit, thank you that you're here to give us wisdom and counsel to make these scriptures come alive in our lives and in our hearts. We say yes to you. Yes to new life. Yes to your joy. Praise you. Thank you for you being you.